Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. After my recent health problems, the doctors prescribed all kinds of big pharma to take care of my diabetes and my blood pressure, etc., etc. And those big pharma products did absolutely nothing to help me at all. Total waste of time. So I have tried and have been using the longevity products that are advertised on DIY Health here on EFR, and the results are rather spectacular. My blood pressure is way down in the normal range. My blood sugar is way down in the normal range. My energy level is up, and basically I really feel good. If you would like to try these products, you can contact my friend Patrick at area code 901-553-6900. That's area code 901-553-6900. Okay, that stuff really works, and I'm very pleased. And I don't easily endorse things. Give Patrick a call and tell him what's going on, and he can help you out. See you later. May Yahweh bless and keep you.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is for the 20th of June, 2018. It is my 397th Word for Word show. That's not counting the reruns on Tuesdays and Thursdays. My website, and people have informed me that if you just type in Pastor Steve, there's a whole bunch of them out there that are not me. So I'm going to give my full website so you get the right spot. It's https://// www.pastor-steve.com. Now that will take you to my WordPress site. If you Google or whatever else, and don't enter the direct URL, you're going to get a whole page full of Pastor Steve's. So, I got an email last night. Where'd all these guys come from, Steve? So, I will be giving the full website all the time, because there's too much stuff out there that would take you to the wrong spot. We're working in the book of Matthew. We will be beginning at chapter 6 today. I sat down carefully and planned out all the New Testament shows with 3 new ones per week, and I will be finished with the entire New Testament in February of 2019. That will end the scripture studies. They will be repeats after that. in order. I have everything in order, and I have them saved all over, and I've sent them to people. So that will end the new word-for-word shows. That's the entire Bible, including the Apocrypha. I will be doing the wake-up call sermons. That's going to be a permanent fixture. I'm not going to stop that. I will be doing shows with Eli. But as of February next year, the word-for-word series will be complete from Genesis all the way through Revelation. It's been a long process, and I have had great joy. I've enjoyed it very, very much. I hope you have also. The listening audience is always very active and very good. So I appreciate the support, and I'm glad that you're enjoying things. Let me take a pill here. I'm taking my morning herbals from DIY Health. And everything is going so good. My health is so much better. Let's get into chapter 6 of the book of Matthew here. This is always a good read. I'll put my close-in reading glasses on. And I suggest to you that you be able to write, because I have a lot of notes. So let's get started here. This is a continuation of Yeshua speaking to the disciples, his taught ones. And verse 1 of chapter 6, you can reference the book of Matthew, chapter 23, verse 5. That's the book of Matthew, chapter 23, verse 5. For verse 1 of chapter 6 here. Beware of doing your kind deeds before men in order to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in the heavens. In other words, don't be a showboat. That's what the scribes and Pharisees did. Oh, look, I'm giving alms. Look at me. Look at me. I'm helping the poor. I'm doing it. Well, you do it out of love, and you do it privately. So, you don't blow your own horn, in other words. Verse 2. Thus, when you do a kind deed, do not sound a trumpet before you. There you go. Blow your own horn, as I said, as the hypocrites do in the congregation and in the streets, to be praised by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward. Verse 3. But when you do a kind deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. It's spontaneous, something that you really do because it's heartfelt. Verse 4. So that your kind deed shall be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret shall himself reward you openly. Yahweh knows. Nobody's hiding anything from him. Now, verse 5. And you can reference Luke chapter 18, verses 10 through 14. I had to cough, had to mute the mic. That's Luke 18, 10 through 14. That's for verse 5. And when you pray, You shall not be like the hypocrites, in other words, the scribes and the Pharisees. And the big churchgoers that make a show of going to church, okay? For they love to pray standing in the congregations and on the corners of the street to be seen by men. Oh, hallelujah! Yeah, praise, yeah. Okay. It's a show. Okay, that's what it is. It's a show. It's not sincere. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward. Verse 6. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and having shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret shall reward you openly. Yahweh knows what you're doing, as I said. He sees everything. Your Father who sees in secret. They repeat that here. Over and over. He says that your Father who sees in secret. Verse 7, and you can reference the book of Sirach in the Apocrypha, chapter 7, verse 14. That's Sirach, chapter 7, verse 14. And when praying, do not keep on babbling like the nations, for they think that they shall be heard for their many words when they're praying to their false idols. Oh, blah, 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 blah. They do that. And you get a lot of these preachers that just keep on and on and on. And they never say anything new. They say the same thing over and over. It's repetition. It's memorized. You don't have to pray for something. You can pray against. You can pray against the evil ones. Yahweh hears that. And will smite them. Okay? That's the whole idea. Yahweh's paying attention. Believe me. He doesn't sleep. He's not resting. Verse 8, this makes perfect sense. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. I don't ask for much. I ask for healing. Then I ask blessings on the congregation and protection for our people, etc., etc., etc. And I pray specifically about certain people that have a need. I pray for other people. Yahweh is providing me with everything I need. He knows what I need before I even ask. Just exactly like this verse says. He'll take care of you. Verse 9. This then is the way you should pray. And here he gives his prayer. This is Yeshua praying. This is an example. Our Father who is in the heavens, let your name be set apart. In other words, blessed, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed means let your name be set apart. To set apart from other names. Okay? Verse 10. Let your reign come, let your desire be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, your will be done here. We want your will because our will is no good. Verse 11, give us today our daily bread. In other words, make sure we have something to eat, and he does. Verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. In other words, if you're a hard taskmaster and you're pestering somebody because they owe you a little bit of money, your debts aren't going to be forgiven either. What goes around comes around. Verse 13. And do not lead us into trial. Okay, that would be temptation. And you can reference chapter 26, verse 41 on that. But deliver us from the wicked one. Okay? The wicked one. We pray against the wicked one and his children all the time. The wicked one. The adversary. And those that act for him. Okay? Because yours is the reign and the power and the esteem forever. Amen. And that means so be it. It has nothing to do with Amon-Ra. People have said that, and that is an error. It sounds similar, but it's not. And they have passed that on as, oh, you shouldn't say amen. That's pagan. No, it's not. Amen means so be it. In other words, so be Yahweh's words, his will. So be his will. Well, that's an Egyptian god. No, it's not. It's not Amun-Ra. It's Amon-Ra, the sun god. They've had all these rumors going around as doctrine for all these years. I am so sick of that. Get your research right, folks. Don't spread rumors and perpetuate these rumors. Get your ducks in a row before you run your mouth. Learn something. Okay? Get it straight before you run your face. Verse 14, and you can reference the book of Sirach, chapter 28, verse 1 through 5. Okay. And verses 14 and 15 here, you can reference Mark 11, chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. Mark 11, 25 and 26. Okay. Verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father shall also forgive you. Somebody does something. Now, we're not talking the enemy or a non-Israelite. We're talking about an Israelite. If an Israelite does something to you, forgive them. You're supposed to forgive 7 times 7, okay? There's conditions. But basically, you're to be forgiving and deal with him unless they keep on, and they apostatize. When they go into apostasy, you're not to forgive that, because that's against the Father, not against you. Okay? Verse 15. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither shall your Father forgive your trespasses. Again, what goes around comes around. How do you act? do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Well, there you go. Verse 16. Now this has to do with fasting. And when you fast, do not be sad-faced like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so that they appear to be fasting to men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward. Verse 17, and you can reference the book of Judith and the Apocrypha, chapter 10, verse 3. That's Judith 10, verse 3. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. Verse 18. So that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father, again, who sees in secret, shall reward you openly. You fast in joy and you fast to Yahweh. You don't fast to men. You don't do it for approval from men. That's what he's saying here. It's a private thing between you and Yahweh. Okay? That's what it is. Verse 19. And in verse 19, you can reference James, the book of James, chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. Okay? Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. It's all hand stubble. It isn't going to do you a bit of good. Verse 20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. You can reference the book of Sirach, chapter 29, verse 11. That's Sirach 29, 11 on verse 20. Verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart shall be also. If you treasure Yahweh in his word, that's where your heart's going to be. Verse 22. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, in other words, you're a generous person. That's an idiom. Okay. All your body shall be enlightened. Okay? In other words, if your eye is good, you will learn. You will be enlightened. Get enlightenment from learning from Yahweh. Verse 23, but if your eye is evil, and that's a Hebrew idiom, an evil eye is stingy. Okay? In other words, if you're generous, you're going to be blessed. If you're stingy, all your body shall be darkened. If then the light that is within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? In other words, if what's in your soul is dark and gloomy and stingy and evil, and you're a stuff worshiper, which I'll get to in the next verse, you're going to suffer. Oh, that's hot. Verse 24. No one is able to serve two masters, for either he shall hate the one and love the other, or else he shall cleave to the one and despise to the other. You are not able to serve Elohim and Mammon. Mammon is the personification of wealth. If you worship stuff and ignore Yahweh's word, you can't serve, you can serve one or the other. That's it. Verse 25. Because of this, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you shall eat or drink, or about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than the food, and the body more than the clothing? Verse 26, and you can reference the book of John, chapter 3, verse 36, for verse 26. Look at the birds of the heaven, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into storehouses, yet your heavenly Father does feed them. Are you not worth more than they? Now listen to this, verse 27. You have to chuckle. And which of you, by worrying, is able to add one cubit to his lifespan? So what good is it going to do you to worry? Oh. Verse 28. So why do you worry about clothing? Note well the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Verse 29, and you can reference 1 Kings chapter 10, verses 4 through 7. That's 1 Kings 10, verses 4 through 7, and 2 Chronicles 9, verses 3 through 6. That's 2 Chronicles 9, verses 3 through 6. And I say to you that even Shlomo in all his esteem was not dressed like one of these. Speaking of those lilies of the field. They're beautiful. Verse 30. But if Elohim so clothes the grass of the field, which exists today, and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more you, O you of little belief. O you of little belief. You don't want to trust in Yahweh. You trust in stuff. That's what he's saying to you here. You believe in stuff and money. You're hit. Verse 31. Do not worry then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Verse 32. For all these the nations seek for. That's the heathen nations, okay? And your heavenly Father knows that you need all these. Verse 33. Now here's a guidepost for your life, okay? But seek first the reign of Elohim and his righteousness, and all these shall be added to you. All these will be added to you. Seek first the reign of Elohim, the kingdom. He's preaching kingdom theology here, folks. Torah and kingdom theology. He's not preaching individual salvation. No running up to an altar and making a dog and pony show in front of a congregation. That's not what he's teaching. Kingdom theology. That is what Yeshua Messiah taught. That's what he taught. He taught Torah and kingdom theology. He didn't set aside the Torah. So these liars that tell you it's nailed to the cross are lying to you. They're trying to harm you. They are your enemy. They are enemies of the Father, so don't listen to them. They're liars. Verse 34. Do not, then, worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow shall have its own worries. Each day has enough evil of itself. Boy, is that true. You never know what's going to hit you day to day. Truthfully, you don't. You know, no, your computer blows up and your car quits and your refrigerator burns a coil out and all your food spoils. What's next? Oh, I'm being silly here, but I really, you know, take each day as it comes, day to day. That's the main thing. That ends chapter 6 of the book of Matthew. We're going into chapter 7 here. I'm right on schedule. This is good. Verse 1, do not judge lest you be judged. Let the word judge. The word is the judge, okay? Not us, not our opinion. Verse 2, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with the same measure you use, it shall be measured to you. And you can reference Mark chapter 4, verse 24. That's the book of Mark, chapter 4, verse 24. Here we go. Verse 3. This is famous. And why do you look at the splinter in your brother's eye, but do not notice the plank in your own eye? Verse 4. Or how is it that you say to your brother, let me remove the splinter out of your eye, and see, a plank is in your own eye? Verse 5, hypocrite! First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you shall see clearly to remove the splinter out of your brother's eye. Verse 6, listen to this. Do not give what is set apart to the dogs, that's non-Israelites. You don't take the gospel to those that have no hope of redemption. If they're not Yahweh's to begin with, they can't be redeemed. Understand? When they die, they will die like a dog or a cat or a horse or a cow. They will just stop. It's over. They have no hope of eternal life. Don't waste your time. Oh, we're going to send Bibles to Africa. We're going to get all those black brothers saved over there, and they're going to join us in the kingdom. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Amen. Ooh. Do not give what is set apart to the dogs, nor throw your pearls before the pigs, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Who are the pigs? Figure that one out. Verses 7 and 8 here, you can reference 2 Esdras, chapter 2, verse 13. That's 2 Esdras, chapter 2, verse 13. Verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. Ask the Father, please give me wisdom. Give me enlightenment about these verses. He will. Study to show yourself approved. Seek and you shall find. Get in the Word and study it. Get reference books. Study them. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Knock on the door of knowledge and you will get it. Verse 8. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. You have to put effort, you have to initiate action to get what you want. If you want to learn more about scriptures, you have to study them. You seek daily. Verse 9. Or is there a man among you who, if his son asks for bread, shall give him a stone? Verse 10. Or if he asks for a fish, shall he give him a snake? Verse 11. If you then, being wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father who is in the heavens give what is good to those who ask him? Those who ask him. All right, request of the Father, but request the righteous things. Don't ask for a whole bunch of money or silly stuff. Ask him for wisdom. Ask him for knowledge. Ask him for mercy for yourself and for others. Ask him to smite the children of the enemy. An imprecatory prayer. You can pray against things, against the enemy. He hears that. And you can see that he's smiting them now. He's giving them all kinds of fits. Verse 12 of chapter 7, you can reference the book of Tobit in the Apocrypha, chapter 4, verse 15. It's Tobit 4:15, and the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 31. That's Luke 6, verse 31, for verse 12 of chapter 7 here. Therefore, whatever you wish men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the Torah and the prophets. What goes around comes around. If you want somebody to be good to you, be good to them. Verse 13 and 14. The reference for verses 13 and 14 is the book of Sirach in the Apocrypha, chapter 15, verse 17. That's Sirach 15, verse 17, for verses 13 and 14. Verse 13. Enter in through the narrow gate, because the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter in through it. Remember that one? Gates wide, the way is broad that lead to destruction, and there's many that enter in through it. The world. That's the gate. Verse 14, because the gate is narrow and the way is hard pressed. There's an alternative reading to that, or the way is afflicted, which leads to life, and there are few who find it. That's the remnant. Verse 15. But beware of the false prophets. You can see verse 23 as well. Who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are savage wolves. Liars in the pulpit that will teach you to go against the word of Yahweh. They won't quote the word because they don't want you to hear it. They quote church doctrine. And oh, it sounds so good. It tickles your ears. Oh my, it's just so,
Smooth.
Verse 16, you can reference the book of Sirach, chapter 27, verse 6. Sirach 27, verse 6. By their fruits you shall know them. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? You ever handle a thistle? Sticky right in the hand. They're just like little needles. Oh, they're terrible. Verse 17. Every good tree yields good fruit, but a rotten tree yields wicked fruit. What are the results of their works? Verse 18. A good tree is unable to yield wicked fruit. In other words, if you're truly of Yahweh, you're not going to do evil. And a rotten tree to yield good fruit. They can't. The rotten trees out in the world don't have it in them to do good. They're genetically disposed to evil. It's the DNA. And you know of whom I speak. Verse 19. And references for verse 19 are Matthew 3, verse 10, and Luke 3, verse 9. That's Matthew 3, 10, and Luke 3, 9 for verse 19. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. The tares will burn. Verse 20, and you can reference the book of Matthew, chapter 12, verse 33. Matthew 12, 33 for verse 20. So then, by their fruits you shall know them. Verse 21. Listen to this. Not everyone who says to me, Master, Master, shall enter into the reign of the heavens, but he who is doing the desire of my Father in the heavens. You have to do it. Can't give it lip service. Oh, Lord, Lord, praise the Lord, praise Jesus. And then you go out and you're rotten out in the world. That's not going to do you a bit of good. You're wasting your time. Verse 22. Many shall say to me in that day, Master, Master, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many mighty works in your name? But he's not in their hearts. They did it for their own benefit, to accumulate stuff or to impress other people. They did these things, but for the wrong reasons. Verse 23. And verse 23, you can reference Psalm 6, verse 8, and Matthew 13, verses 41 and 42. That's Psalm number 6, verse 8, and the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 41 and 42, for verse 23. Here's verse 23. And I shall declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work lawlessness. Verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them shall be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. It requires action. You have to do it. Okay? Verse 25. And the rain came down, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall. For it was founded on the rock. Now, who's the rock? The rock. Yeshua HaMashiach. He is our rock. The foundation. Verse 26. And verse 26, you can reference the book of John, chapter 3, verse 36. That's John 3, 36. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them shall be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Verse 27. And the rain came down, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Well, that's going to be the great fall of Babylon, the system that's starting to crumble now. They're panicking. Because the truth is out, and they can't stand the truth. And here is verses 28 and 29, which end chapter 7. And you can reference the book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 22, and Luke, chapter 4, verse 32. That's Mark 1, 22, and Luke 4, 32, for verses 28 and 29. And it came to be, when Yeshua had ended these words, that the people were astonished at his teachings. Well, he was talking basically to his taught ones, but everybody else was listening. Verse 29, for he was teaching them as one possessing authority and not as the scribes, because all the scribes did was just read. They didn't explain. They couldn't explain. They didn't have the wherewithal in their spirit to explain the scriptures. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. The scribes were part of the problem. Well, same deal. Now that ends chapter 7, and chapter 8 and 9 I've scheduled for the next show. We're doing about 2 chapters each show, quite honestly. That's about what I can comfortably get done without shorting anybody on notes or comments. This is so important. These verses are so important. that you don't dare play with them. You have to really go in depth. And I have all these notes, and I've gone through all my reference books, and I have pages of things to read as far as references with all these New Testament verses, plus the notes that are in this book. They didn't put all the notes in one book, so I have taken a little bitty pen, a little fine point, and I've written them in down at the bottom and over in the margin, and I've got this brand new Bible all highlighted up. It looks like a carnival sign. It's all multicolored. Very, very bright, and it calls attention to all these verses. Now, in chapter 8, he's going to come down from the mountain. He's going to speak to a bunch of other people, as in chapter 9. So 8 and 9 will be teachings of Yeshua as he goes through. Just his interaction with the people in these next couple of chapters is going to be really tremendous. Just how he talked to people, and just common folks like us, and the son of Elohim, the son of Yahweh, talk to us because he cared. He would speak directly to us and directly to our heart. And it is so tremendous, just the interaction. He didn't put on airs. To have been there and to have heard him speak must have been marvelous. Just absolutely. It just thrills me just to read the words that he spoke, but to be there and to hear him say these things, to walk with him. Wow. Well, if we're his, we're going to walk with him in the future. He's going to come down here and rule. He's going to be back, and that's what worries the Antichrists. I said Antichrist with an S, plural, because they're all Antichrists. There's been some that said they would kill him again if he was here. Okay. The next time he comes back, it's not going to be in a forgiving mood. The grace period will be over, and they will be destroyed. But anyway, thank you for listening. I enjoy these reads. The response to the New Testament teachings have been tremendous. I'm very, very pleased. And I'm going to play the outro music and then a tune or two, a little country music for y'all. And may Yahweh bless and keep you, and I'll catch you on the next show. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Policeman on the beat, yo, lady, hey, yo, you lady. Oh, every time I need you, mama. Put your head brakes on.